Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hi, and welcome to Coffee and Pearls, 15 Minutes of Wisdom for Catholic Moms. I'm Sterling Jaquith, and I am almost 38 weeks pregnant. I have been pretty much in bed for the last 6 months, so it's been a really rough kind of year for me. The hardest part actually has just been not being able to be a mom to my kids. I mean, sometimes they come up and hang out in bed with me and we read books or we talk, but I'm just not there for the vast majority of things that they're going through right now. And so I'm very eager to have this baby and be on the flip side of all of this. And of course, while this is happening to me, you know, the church is experiencing this crazy crisis right now. And it just feels like we're being hit with scandalous thing after scandalous thing. And to be honest, you know, I haven't been Catholic for that long, right? I converted in 2010, and so this feels a little bit new to me. And even though I was aware of the structure of the church, you know, I don't have a lot of experience with bishops or archbishops or cardinals or the way that the Vatican is run. And so I don't have a lot of insight into how that should look or even how it looks now. The two bishops that I've known personally were very humble and kind and ultra conservative, and they didn't seem to be the kind of posturing, power hungry kind of people that I've been reading about recently. And so it's hard for me because I keep reading all these internet articles about things that are going on. And of course, every time you read an internet article, you're thinking, well, who wrote this and where did it come from? And it sounds extreme, but maybe it's not extreme. And so I'm kind of trying to sift through all of that stuff. But what I can say with certainty is that we're definitely going through an upheaval. And I think it is quite appropriate that things get shaken up. People ought to be removed. I'm not even sure what the appropriate words are about that, because it doesn't seem like we fire priests or bishops. It seems like they kind of get moved to a life of prayer and penance. So I'm not sure what words are appropriate there, but whatever it is, I mean, I think drastic measures need to be taken. I think now is the time for us to be righteously angry. You know, I talk about how, especially as moms, we fall into the trap of being sinfully angry, right? We allow these feelings of anger to well up in us, and then we act inappropriately to our husband or our children. and we snap at them, and that is the wrong kind of anger. That's when we've allowed something to steal our peace. But righteous anger is the anger of God, where we say, there is a grave injustice that is happening, and I am angry, and I'm going to use that anger to bring about justice to this situation. And I think that is the anger that we're seeing right now from the lay people of the Catholic Church, and it's entirely appropriate. We should be angry. We feel kind of betrayed. We feel kind of lied to. And, you know, we feel scared for the priesthood and our seminarians. I mean, I just keep thinking about how much it would mean to me if one of my sons wanted to be a priest. And never before have I even considered being scared that sending him to seminary would be a dangerous place. And Lord willing, you know, all of this will get shaken out and cleaned up, and that won't be the case. But I feel angry that that's even something that I would have to worry about. And so if you're feeling frustrated right now, I think the first thing to do is just acknowledge that pretty much all of us are. I mean, I don't think anyone's going, no, this isn't a big deal. It'll blow over. Things are fine. I haven't heard anybody say that, and it's not appropriate to say that because things are not fine. But I've been surprised that my overall reaction has been to kind of double down on Catholicism because, you know, I see this blowing up right now, but I also know in a way that it's a blip. The Catholic Church has been around for 2,000 years. It's timeless. It will be timeless from here on out. It will always withstand anything that gets thrown at it. This is not the worst thing that the Catholic Church has been through, and we will weather it because we always do. And I have so much peace in that. And I find so much comfort in knowing that God established this church and that the church is not about the leadership who runs it. They're going to come and go, but it's about us and how we embody Christ every day and live His will in our everyday lives in the world. And so that is not going to change. And I hope that people have a fervor that's being stirred up in them right now to do that even more, to be Catholic even louder than before. Because now is the time to say, we are not fair weather Catholics, right? We are not Catholics because it's cool. We are not Catholics because it's popular. We are not Catholics because Catholicism looks shiny and bright and attractive. In fact, it never really has. Catholicism has always been rooted in humility and suffering and carrying the cross with Jesus to show that we think that is more meaningful than anything else that we could do with our lives. And it's specifically why I do the work that I do, because I believe really strongly in three things. First, in Marian consecration. If you have not consecrated yourself to Jesus through Mary, I genuinely believe that that is the way that we're going to battle most of these things and save the world. And that is no light statement, right? That's pretty extreme. And so if you found that you've been kind of putting it off, make time for it. I will do my consecration, and I do it every year formally, starting in October, I forget what the date is, and then I finish up on November 21st. So if you would like to do that with me, I'd be happy to do that. You can email me questions and we can talk about it while we're going through it. It tends to be a really tough 33 days, so be prepared for that. But the devil attacks us because he knows how powerful it is. He knows how powerful Marian consecration is, and he hates it when we do that. And so if you have not done that, I mean, I just consider it my life's work to convince as many people as possible to do that. And then the second thing that I believe very strongly in is this idea that we all embrace minimalism. Because we live in such a loud, commercialized world right now that we're just being distracted by what everyone else is doing. We're being distracted by what the world tells us we ought to be chasing, and some of those things even sound good and could be good, but when we pile too many of them on our plate, it starts to be bad. The totality of them starts to draw us away from our true mission. And your job as moms is to step back and say, forget my schedule this month, forget school starting, forget piano lessons and soccer practice and what the kids are eating and all these little things that we focus on. Just step back and say, am I raising the next generation of outstanding Catholics? There was a quote that was going around Facebook that was saying, how should we respond to this? Well, we should respond by raising the most amazing next generation of Catholics that we can. And I absolutely agree with that. Because our past does not predict our future, and what we're going through right now should not cripple us from sharing the truth with our children. There's only one reason that I'm Catholic, and it's because it's the truth. And that doesn't change no matter how many people practice it poorly, no matter how many people twist it and turn it into something ugly. It is beautiful, and it is the truth, and it's the only way to live and have peace. So your job as a mom, you know, every day, every week, every month. I know a lot of you probably just bought planners and you're feeling excited about the fall. I love fall. It's my favorite time of year. I love September. You know, it feels like a new beginning to me. And I just want you to step back and look at all the things that you've written down and you've decided to focus on and say, ask yourself, are these things helping me raise the next outstanding generation of Catholics? Because nothing else really matters. It really doesn't. So I believe in Marian consecration. I believe in minimalism, both in the amount of stuff that we own and the amount of activities that we're doing. Get rid of stuff. Cut it down. It's going to feel like a sacrifice. It's going to feel painful. But ultimately, I believe that it draws us closer to God. And then the third thing is to just make it your life's mission to strive for sainthood by becoming the best version of yourself. That is written in absolutely every single Matthew Kelly book, and I'm glad, because it should be written in every single book. Our goal in life, our mission, our purpose is to become saints by continually saying, am I a better Sterling today than I was yesterday? Am I a better Sterling this year than I was last year? And if not, why? What is holding me back? What are my idols? What am I clinging to? In Mass a couple weeks ago, one of the priests asked this question and it just knocked me over. He said, what do you do that brings the devil joy? Wow. And that was just such a yucky question, first of all. But I think we spend so much time thinking about how we can please Jesus, and we should. And we shouldn't think too much about the devil. It's dangerous to dwell on that. But I think it's important to just spend a moment to ask that question. What am I doing that brings the devil joy? What do I do that makes him kind of rub his hands together and snicker and say, yeah, she's one step closer to me? And we don't want to think like that. The road to heaven is narrow, and yet we all think we're on it, right? All of us. And so we have to kind of step back and ask ourselves, am I really on it? And the more we learn, the more we are accountable for. And that doesn't mean that it should be harder for us to get to heaven. It just means that we have the responsibility to repent more, right? So when I first became Catholic, I didn't even see all these things that I was doing, all these little ways that I was kind of turning away from God and not walking toward him. But the more I read and the more I learn, the more I am accountable at the end of the day for doing an examination of conscience and saying, Lord, I'm really sorry that I spoke unkindly to my husband. And what a small thing that is. But it is a sinful thing. And I feel 100% confident in God's endless mercy, and that he will always say, I forgive you, child. I forget. I love you. Let's move on. But we have to be humble enough to ask for that. And striving to be a saint by being the best version of ourselves means constantly asking ourselves, did I make good choices? And if not, did I repent of that? And I don't live with a ton of guilt on me. Okay, even right now, I'm sitting in bed. My husband's pretty much single parenting my kids, right? I'm not there for a lot of the milestone moments this year. I don't carry a lot of guilt with me about that, because God has obviously asked me to be in this place. And who am I to say that he's wrong and that I should feel guilty about it? I just pray that he protects their little hearts and that he leads them to heaven. And that if they're suffering right now, that this suffering makes them stronger Catholics. We've got to stop carrying guilt around. It's too heavy. Catholicism should feel light. But it only feels light when we give our burden over to Christ. First, when we see the burden and acknowledge we're holding it. A lot of us don't even get that far, right? That's kind of what I'm talking about today. We're not getting to the point where we're stepping back and saying, am I choosing to focus on the wrong things day in and day out, instead of trying to raise the best generation of Catholics? It is our job to live counterculturally. The way we live should be obvious and weird. It really should. And it should be normal enough that non-Catholics are attracted to how we're living. But it should be obvious that something is different about us. So I want to kind of close today with this quote from Pope Benedict. Leodaro posted it, and it was really the best thing I've read so far. The thing that has given me the most hope amidst all this stuff that we're dealing with. And it's long, but I'll read it slowly so that you can hear it, because I think it's really, really important. So again, this quote comes from Pope Benedict in his book, Faith and the Future. And he says, "The church will become small and will have to start afresh, more or less from the beginning. She will no longer be able to inhabit many of the edifices she built in prosperity. As the number of her adherents diminishes, she will lose many of her social privileges. As a small society, the church will make much bigger demands on the initiative of her individual members." So he's saying we're going to get small, we're going to lose a lot of our social privileges, and we're going to ask more of the lay people. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen here. He continues and says, "It will be hard going for the church. For the process of crystallization and clarification will cost her much valuable energy. It will make her poor and cause her to become the church of the meek. The process will be long and wearisome, as was the road from the false progressivism on the eve of the French Revolution, when a bishop might be thought smart if he had made fun of dogmas and even insinuated that the existence of God was by no means certain." I think some of us do that, right? We kind of downplay Catholicism a little bit, or we make jokes about it to kind of normalize our lives when we're hanging out with secular friends. I think this, you know, that was happening with popular bishops who wanted to be liked back in the French Revolution and in now. So, you know, it's important to understand this is not a new problem. It just feels like a loud problem all of a sudden. He continues and says, "But when the trial of this sifting is past, a great power will flow from a more spiritualized and simplified church. Men in a totally planned world will find themselves unspeakably lonely. If they have completely lost sight of God, they will feel the whole horror of their poverty." Because we experience poverty without God, you guys. "Then they will discover the little flock of believers as something wholly new. They will discover it as a hope that is meant for them, an answer for which they have always been searching in secret." That is our responsibility, ladies. Our responsibility is to be this tiny flock of believers. and for the world to go, how come you're still Catholic? Because you can't be on birth control and they tell you what to do and you have to confess your sins. And what about this scandal with the priests and don't you feel unsafe? They will have seemingly good reasons to challenge us. But we have to be prepared to give our reason. And our reason is, it is still the truth, no matter how poorly someone practices it. Pope Benedict goes on to say, "And so it seems certain to me that the church is facing very hard times. The real crisis has scarcely begun. We will have to count on terrific upheavals. But I am equally certain about what will remain at the end, not the church of the political cult, which is dead already, but the church of faith. She may well no longer be the dominant social power to the extent that she was until recently, but she will enjoy a fresh blossoming and be seen as man's home, where he will find life and hope beyond death." Wow, he wrote that in 2009. That was 9 years ago. And of course, a lot of these scandals had already been happening. And I think, you know, the Catholic leadership knew about it. But he knew that this was what was going to happen. And I think this is what will happen over the next at least 50 years, right? It's not going to be a couple years and then we'll move on. I think the church is going to get smaller and smaller, and it has to become more simple and more reverent and more real and true. And the compromises that the leadership has been making and that we have been making will have to stop. I've had a lot of conversations about birth control, really, because as my secular family has watched me suffer physically so much, they just really do not understand why my faith would prevent me from not having any more kids. Like, it seems so irresponsible to them. So unloving. They can't reconcile the two things. And I don't spend a lot of time trying to change their mind about that, because I get it. If you're not Catholic and if your catechism doesn't say this is a rule, why would you do it? But, you know, the thing I do tell them over and over again is that Catholicism is a package deal. As soon as you pick and choose what you want, it stops being Catholicism. And really, it starts being Protestantism, right? And it is painful. And I'm very scared of getting pregnant again. I wish I had a magic wand that would say, I'm done, I don't want any more kids. This cross has been too heavy. I am surprised that God has thought me worthy of carrying it. And maybe this is what you get when you say publicly that you want to be a saint. And then he goes, all right, it's painful to live like that. But every day I wake up and I say, this is what you've chosen for me. And I accept it. And I believe in his power. I believe that he controls everything. I believe that he chooses every baby that gets born into this world. This baby wasn't an accident. It wasn't carelessness. God can see everything before time and after time. And even if you slept with your husband on the day you ovulated, he can say, we're not making a baby right now. Plenty of you know that story too. God chooses every baby that comes into the world. And he has asked me to carry this baby for 6 months in bed. And who knows why? Maybe to be healthier. Maybe so that I can learn to let go of my wanting to control everything. It's very humbling to not even be able to get water for yourself, right? And in a way, it feels like at least I can do something for all of this pain and hurt that's going on in the Catholic Church right now. I can use my pain and say, Lord, please use this pain for the conversion of sinners and for the healing of the church. Cleanse that church. And I constantly pray, shine your light into my heart. light up those pockets of darkness that I'm not willing to acknowledge. And lately I've been kind of praying that he does that with the church too. Go into the church and shine your light into the darkness. So I'm about to have this baby, so I'll probably be gone for a couple weeks. But I want you to ask yourself, is Marian consecration right for you right now? If you've been consecrated before, are you saying your consecration prayer every day? If not, just print it out on a piece of paper and put it somewhere. It doesn't have to be beautiful. Sometimes I get caught up in that, right? I think, oh, I want it to be this lovely printable that I frame, but then I don't do it. Just forget it. Just print it out. I want you to learn more about minimalism. I'm not saying you have to live in a studio apartment with concrete floors and not have any stuff. That's why I wrote a book about how to live like minimalists if you have a big family or if you're homeschooling. But we are too attached to our stuff. We have made an idol of comfort, and it is time to set that down. And then I want you to also ask yourself, are you striving for sainthood? Is that your purpose in life? And are you raising the best generation of Catholics that you possibly can? That is what we can do day in and day out in our homes right now to help the church with what the church is going through. So I love you. I'm praying for your hearts. If your heart is sad and hurt, that is okay. It is okay to feel that. It is okay to feel righteous anger. I think this is a very appropriate time to feel that. But also have hope that we always win. We will always win in the end. The Catholic Church is timeless. We are here forever. And it is the truth. And that is what we should cling to. I love all of you. And thank you so much for listening to Coffee and Pearls. And have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.